And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Joining us from his home base in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how have you been?
Been well. Back at home. Mm-hmm. Into Olympic hockey right now. U.S. is doing well.
Yep.
St. Louis Blues are well represented, so okay. I think they have 10 Olympians between the various teams.
Okay. And we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl because that did not go our way at all, did it? But you had a good time down there.
Oh, I had a great time at Super Bowl, but no, the game didn't go my way, but I've moved on. Okay. I'm into hockey now.
Okay.
Basketball.
Okay, good stuff. For this program, Mickey, we've decided to focus on a very obscure metal, technetium, silvery gray metal, number 43 on the periodic table. And quite the history, isn't there, in terms of filling that number 43 spot on the periodic table?
Yes, it couldn't be found for a long time. Most of these elements were predicted by Mendeleev in the 1870s. Technetium was thought to have been discovered as early as 1828, but there were numerous chemists that falsely claimed discovery. It wasn't actually documented until 1937. It's quite an obscure, rare element, silvery gray, inert, with very high valence states, but it's the lowest element in the periodic table at number 43 with no stable isotopes. In other words, all the isotopes are radioactive. Mm-hmm. It has a high melting point, high boiling point, very dense. Because of its relatively short half-lives, there are just minute amount in nature.
Okay, can you attach a figure to that? Only minute traces in nature. Just how minute is it?
Well, that's really hard to determine. It's a decay product of uranium. Most of what was produced in the Big Bang or thereafter has decayed into other elements by this time. As a uranium decay product in concentrated 100% uranium ore, it would be at about one part per billion. So what it is in the Earth crust is basically none for all practical purposes.
Yeah, and technetium in use today, and we teed this up last time out, nuclear medicine, and there's only a handful of locations around the world where we can get a hold of this stuff, correct?
Right, so it's all produced artificially, it's synthetic. It's produced for medical nuclear medicine and diagnostic tests. It is a product of nuclear reactor waste, but essentially what's produced in nuclear reactors, standard nuclear power reactors, as waste is not recovered. It's a specialized product in a couple of reactors worldwide, and one of them would be, I think, near you in Chalk River, Ontario.
That's
wherever
correct.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
I presume in the Toronto area, and one in the Netherlands. And what they do is they take highly enriched uranium targets and they bombard those, and they produce moly-99, molybdenum-99, and then technetium-99 is recovered from the decay of that. The Chalk River, Ontario reactor was shut down for a couple of years, if memory serves, about 2010, 2011. Both these reactors are old, from the 1960s and nearing the end of their useful lives, and they produce two-thirds of the world's supply, so that led to a temporary shortage.
Mm-hmm. And the whole process that you just walked us through, Mickey, it's a fairly long process, isn't it? Takes a couple of years, really, in order for the radioactivity to fall to a point where this extraction process actually takes place?
Well, I'll defer to you on that, Rob. You know more about that probably than I do, but since you asked the question in a way that sounded like That's the facts. We'll accept it as that.
Okay, we'll accept that. Yeah, and you talk about the Chalk River plant. When it was shut down for a couple of years, yeah, it caused a real problem in the medical community because there was a shortage of isotopes that are critical for the medical imaging.
Well, that's true. It's used in nuclear diagnostic tests, nuclear medicine, as a radioactive tracer, where it emits gamma rays with a half-life of 6 hours, so it's a very quick nuclear medicine diagnostic tool. And there's over 50 tests on various body parts, from your heart to your liver to bones, etc. So that's the main use, and that's from technetium-99 in a metastable state. And then the more standard technetium-99, which has a half-life of about 4.2 million years, it's the longest-lived isotope. It's used as an equipment calibrator because it's a beta emitter. Once gamma rays go away in the metastable state, then it becomes a beta emitter, and it's used to calibrate various instruments that measure things, radioactivity, et cetera.
How much of this stuff is produced on an annual basis globally, Mickey? Were you able to find out that information, and is it a market that's well supplied right now? It sounds to me like it's always kind of on edge. You know, when one of these old plants like Chalk River goes down, there's a problem.
Well, certainly there is a problem. I don't have the exact facts and figures, but it's not a much, let's put it that way, that's actually produced. But once again, there's only two sources. Now, there's other methodologies that can be developed, and other reactors could be modified to produce technetium-99, but it just hadn't at this point. And it has led to these shortages. So what's happened when there were shortages, physicians would go back to old tests that were pre, say, 1970. So there are other tests that can be done, but just not as efficient as the one with using technetium-99.
Yeah, and I guess there's research, and I think you touched on this, research taking place right now into different methods that perhaps may not require a nuclear reactor or weapons-grade uranium, which would certainly make life a lot easier, wouldn't it, if they did come up with something?
Well, it certainly would, and your point's well taken right there, the highly enriched uranium targets. Now, I was unable to figure out how highly they enriched they actually are, but it certainly could be nuclear-grade uranium that they're using. There's not a lot of that around, so, and yeah. It's, of course, a concern if that would fall in the wrong hands.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add on this one, Mickey? Any areas that we didn't touch on?
Well, there's a problem with it as a waste product from nuclear reactors. You know, basically none of it produced in normal power generating reactors is commercially used. So because it acts as an anion and not a cation, and in other words, it does not really behave in compounds, particularly as a metal, it's not easily isolated from bad nuclear waste. So it has a waste disposal problem. There's no biological role, but it has low chemical toxicity, probably because it's just so rare. And also it has a low radiological hazard because it's a beta emitter, which can be stopped like with a pane of glass. But anyway, it has to be handled carefully. And once again, it's one of these obscure metals that has limited use, but for the United States and the rest of the world, with all these fancy medical devices and lots of people on Medicare and physicians who want to prescribe expensive procedures, it is somewhat critical to modern day medicine.
All right, well, let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. And hey, we've got the big PDAC convention coming up a couple of weeks here in Toronto. Always a great gathering, isn't it, for the industry? People come from all over the world, and you and I will be sitting down face-to-face at our favorite watering hole in downtown Toronto.
We will do that, and I would expect there's probably going to be something on the order of 30,000 mining professionals, investors there. And 2 weeks from today, I will be on stage March 2nd at the Investors Forum giving the last talk of the day, and they've asked me to do something that will perk investors' interest. So we hope to fill the room, and that also gives us a chance to do a couple of interviews face-to-face.
All righty. Well, it'll be standing room only, I'm sure, for you, Mickey. Thanks very much, and we'll reconnect in a couple of weeks then.
Okay, appreciate it, Rob. Take care.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.